This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Japan and the U.S. have a long history together. In the late 1800s, Japan had just emerged from a civil war, and the government had a mission to build the country back up again by learning the ways of the West. They started sending young men to the United States to learn how Americans do business, build, and work. Then came the idea to send young women. Actually, girls. So in 1871, Japan shipped 5 girls from samurai families to live in America. That story is told in the new book, Daughters of the Samurai, by Janice Nimura. She joined me in studio to talk, and I asked her to start by reading a passage from her book.
In a high, clear voice, using language so formal the girls could barely understand her, she read the words the Empress had brushed with her own hand, words no Empress had hitherto dreamed of composing. "Considering that you are girls, your intention of studying abroad is to be commended," she chanted. Girls studying abroad? The very words were bizarre. The reedy voice continued. "When, in time, schools for girls are established, you shall be examples to your countrywomen, having finished your education." The words were impossible. There was no such thing as a school for girls. And when they returned, if they returned, what kind of examples would they be? So the Japanese government is trying to catch up with all of the systems of the world. They're trying to adopt Western ideas in order to resist Western incursions. So they start sending embassies abroad to learn everything about everything and bring it back to Japan. And on one of these embassies, somebody piped up, somebody who had traveled in America before, and said, "You know, American women are really different from Japanese women. They read a lot. They're educated. They have opinions. And they share their opinions with their men, and the men listen. Maybe we should send some little girls over to America and drop them off and let them grow up there for, 10 years. And then they can come back and help spawn a new generation of enlightened men." So 5 little girls were attached to what was called the Iwakura Embassy. It's the most famous of these embassies. Every Japanese school child knows the Iwakura Embassy. And 5 little girls set out for America.
Who were these 5 little girls, and who were their parents, and what was the process like?
Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness.
So they were 5 girls from the samurai class, hence the title of the book, Daughters of the Samurai.
What does that mean?
So the samurai were the warrior class, and after a couple of centuries of peace in Japan, they were less warriors than sort of the bureaucratic class. They were the educated class. They did the running of the country, pretty much.
So they weren't samurais as we would imagine in our minds.
Well, yes, they were. It's just that for 250 years, there had been no wars to fight in Japan. The warrior spirit was still central to who they were. They just didn't do a whole lot of fighting. But those ideas of discipline and obedience and loyalty were paramount. And that's how these girls grew up. Now, at the beginning of this historical period that we're in now, there's just been a brief and bloody civil war. The shogun has been deposed and the emperor has been restored. And these 5 families were all on the losing side. They had backed the shogun, and now they had taken a real hit in terms of reputation and prestige, and in some cases their livelihood. They were struggling. And they all, each of these families, had an unusually acute awareness that the ways of the West were the ways of the future. And they all had other children. So it was thinkable, not unthinkable, to risk a daughter, send her off, and hope that when she came back, if she came back, that she would bring with her some of the prestige they had lost in that civil war.
And what about their trip here? How was that?
They landed in San Francisco in 1872 in January, sailed through the Golden Gate, incommunicado, no English, and painfully conspicuous because no one had thought to get them any Western clothes as camouflage. And everywhere they appeared in public, they appeared in their gorgeous kimono and created a sensation all over again.
So what was the reaction of the American public to them? What did they make of them?
They were enthralled. When the Iwakura mission landed in San Francisco, the San Francisco Chronicle covered them every day, every step they took. every factory they visited, everybody they had dinner with. And the girls were seen as princesses. You know, they were exotic and they were like fairies. You know,
what did they look like? Can you describe?
There was something fairy tale-ish about it all. You know, the 6-year-old was tiny. She was barely. I mean, think about a kindergarten girl today. They were, you know, lavishly dressed and their hair ornamented. They looked as exotic as you could imagine. And then got on the Continental Railroad, the Transcontinental Railroad, which had only really just been completed a few years earlier, all the way across the country via Salt Lake and Chicago to Washington, D.C. Fairly shortly after arriving in Washington, D.C., the two eldest girls, the 14-year-olds, were sent back to Tokyo. They were homesick. They weren't particularly well. They weren't in some ways young enough to consider this incredible adaptation they were being asked to perform. But the three younger ones, who at this point were 7 and 10 and 11, were then placed in three different families. All three girls excelled in school. One studied music, and one got the full 4-year baccalaureate degree, the first Japanese woman to earn a college degree anywhere. They were quite dazzling, both intellectually and just in terms of their personalities. People really warmed to them.
And then what happened?
So they headed back when their 10 years were up. And in three different ways, they managed each to make a significant contribution. The music student came back and taught music her whole life, married another man who had been a student in America. The older one made the wrenching decision not to teach and to marry a very powerful man, the Minister of War, who was a generation older than she. And she thought perhaps by moving in his circles, she might be able to make change from behind the scenes, which she did in women's education and women's philanthropy. The young one refused to get married, toiled and taught English, and then founded a school which became one of the most prestigious women's colleges in Japan.
So the plan worked then?
Against all odds and no thanks to anybody who had conceived it. It worked thanks to the unusual grit and intellectual capabilities and charm of these three girls, chosen basically at random, who managed to be successful both here and then back, quote unquote, home. Although home never felt quite like home after that. They were home, but they felt homesick in some ways for the rest of their lives.
That was Janice Nimura, author of Daughters of a Samurai.